Good morning and welcome to worship this morning on this beautiful Sunday morning here at Davis Park. We also welcome any of you and all of you that are worshiping with us online. We are assisting me in worship today will be Allie Hall, Dave Peter, and music offered by the talented Elizabeth Murray Sharon and Michelle Murray. Any guests with us this morning, we want to invite you to pick up one of our welcome guest bags. Those are at the table as you enter this part at the end of the sidewalk, as you enter this part of Davis Park. So want to welcome you and invite you to just learn a little more about us and receive our gift. If you would like to participate as a hostess or host for our fellowship time that immediately follows our worship service, please see Kathy Keene or contact the church office and we'll let her know. And it would just be setting up. She brings in the donuts. It's a matter of making coffee and cleaning that up afterwards. Prayer and Pastry will continue. It's a Max Lucado study with, I will be facilitating that. It's on Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. downtown at the North-South Parlor. Grief Share has also begun, but welcomes anyone who wants to participate in those sessions of healing. It is Ron and Carol Watson that are facilitating Grief Share. They meet on Monday mornings from 10:30 to noon. So if you are interested, please meet them down there and they will set you up with the book that you need. Our Family Ministries Summer of Service continues. Wonderful things happening. One of those is our Operation Love school bag collection. And you are invited to participate by sharing some items. Those are listed in your bulletin, the items that they need, and then later on, Allie and our family ministry team will be packing up backpacks for Operation Love to distribute. Let us now stand and greet one another with the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. As you return to your seats, I invite us to center our hearts for worship. stand as you are able, joining together in our call to worship and our opening hymn. God's love for us is great. God is like a loving parent who watches over us. God's mercy for us is great. God reaches out to us in healing patience and peace. Praise be to God who has called us here. Praise be to God whose love and mercy is given to us. Amen.
All the children down for our children's moment. All right, good morning, guys. You'll notice again, it's the second week in a row and no green bag. You know why? Because I'm still wearing something we're going to talk about, but you can't see it, so that's not fair. What is it?
It's the phone.
The phone again, but this time we're going to talk about something different. So this month, all month at First Kids, we've been talking about ways that we can share Jesus because we're called to do that. We've talked about sharing Jesus with our family. We've talked about sharing Jesus with our friends, with our neighbors, and today we're going to talk about sharing Jesus with the world. So I'm not going to tell you to travel to a foreign country to share Jesus, but what I am going to challenge you to do this week is to read up on somewhere far away that you're interested in. That way you can get to know the people, the food they eat, the things that they like to do, the way they spend their time, maybe how they worship, and find out about some other place other than Indiana in the world. Do you guys think you could do that one? Ohio? Sure, Ohio counts, that's true. Ohio counts. But what are some other places you could think of?
Ireland.
Excellent choice. Very good choice. You'll find a lot of Catholics there. Very good choice.
Texas.
Sure. Yeah. Texas. Yeah. Great. Connor, what about you? Some other place that you could think of that you might want to learn more about?
California.
Very good. California is a cool place. I like California a lot. I like this. But you guys, there's a lot of places that we can learn about, and there's a lot of ways that we can share Jesus with people, right? I could pick up my phone right now. I have friends that are visiting Canada today. I have friends that live in Australia. I could pick up my phone, and I could call them. Isn't that so neat? Like, that's an amazing gift that we have with technology. So you guys are going to use technology this week to learn about somewhere else, and maybe when you're older or anything like that, maybe you could share Jesus with someone else in a different part of the world. So we're going to head into the class now to start talking about that.
over our invitation to the offering this morning, I have a smile to invite you into thinking about your giving. A man died and went to heaven. He was met at the pearly gates by St. Peter, who led him down the golden streets. They passed stately houses and beautiful mansions until they came to the end of the street, where they stopped in front of a rundown cabin. The man asked St. Peter why he got a hut when there were so many mansions he could live in. St. Peter replied, I did the best with the money you sent us. Let us give generously. Lord, help us to laugh at ourselves, but take seriously your call to participate in your work of grace. Bless the gifts we have given, that they may spread your love beyond here and beyond this moment. Amen.
Please pray with me. Father, we are so grateful you loved us and adopted us so that we could be called your children. We confess that sometimes our gratitude gets lost in everyday things. We sometimes lose sight of that relationship in the midst of the chaos of this world. But you continue to bless us, even though we might not recognize these blessings you do give us. Help us to recognize your presence and blessings in the midst of trials and tribulations. Be still and know that you are God. As your children, we have been called to be your hands and feet in this broken world. Help us bless others as you have blessed us. Help us to see as you see, love as you love, to touch lives as you have touched lives. In gratitude, we now pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. A few words before I read the Old Testament. As I read this, I was thinking, man, I sure hope they don't shoot the messenger. And in retrospect, I wonder if Isaiah had the same thoughts. Last weekend, I was part of a formation flight training, And at the end of every training flight, there's a thing called a debrief. And everyone is expected to come and put their egos aside and actually learn from the mistakes or things that we could do better. So hopefully in that frame of mind, I'm going to read this section from the Old Testament. It's from Isaiah chapter 1 from the Message. Quit your worship charades. I can't stand your trivial religious games. Monthly conferences, weekly Sabbaths, special meetings, meetings. I can't stand one more. Meetings for this, meetings for that. I hate them. You've worn me out. I'm sick of your religion, while you go right on sinning. When you put on your next prayer performance, I'll be looking the other way. No matter how long or loud you pray, I'll not be listening. And do you know why? Because you've been tearing people to pieces, and your hands are bloody. Go home and wash up. Clean up your act. Sweep your lives clean of your evil doings so I don't have to look at them any longer. Say no to wrong. Learn to do good. Work for justice. Help the down and out. Stand up for the homeless. Go to bat for the defenseless. Come, sit down. Let's argue this out. This is God's message. If your sins are blood red, they'll be white as snow. If they're red like crimson, they'll be like wool. If you willingly obey, you'll feast like kings. But if you're willful and stubborn, you'll die like dogs. That's right. God says so. This is God's word for God's people today. Thanks be to God.
My God, to thee. Thank you for singing that this morning. I felt like after the scripture, we needed to feel a little nearer to God. That felt like a hard push. And so I'm glad we sang that together. That was written by Sarah Flowers Adams in the 19th century, so 1800s. And she basically wrote it after reading about Jacob's ladder. Jacob's vision of building a ladder up to God, being nearer to God. And that's why the word Bethel is in there. That's where Jacob had the altar that he had the dream on. He laid his head on a rock for a pillow, had this vision of becoming closer to God, and then used that place of Bethel. And so that's why that is a part of the lyrics to the song. But basically, it's a song of recognizing our own separation from God and seeking to be nearer to God. And we have this passage from Isaiah 1, which talks about a separation from God, what that looks like, what God is looking down upon us. Now, we are in a setting of worship, and it says, you know, give up your worship charades. Basically, what this passage is, it's right at the beginning of Isaiah. And he is using a shock factor to get the attention of God's people. And it works, right? Got my attention when I read through the scripture. Because it is intended to kind of shock us. And so, and we have, I used the passage out of the Message translation also because it's very blunt. A little more blunt than some of the other translations. And so we have this taking place. Isaiah was actually a prophet. He was a prophet eventually in just Judah, where the Jerusalem was. He lived in Jerusalem. Originally, he was prophet of all of Israel, but then there were so many wars and divisions, and then he landed just in Judah. And at this time, King Ahaz was the king of Judah, and he was a horrible, evil king. And I don't know if you recognize this or not, but when you have someone in leadership, those that follow tend to go in the same direction, and so had the people of God. However, they were still worshiping God. They were going through all the grandiose motions. They were having worship just as prescribed in the Old Testament that they should. They were going through all of that. And it's kind of ironic when it talks about blood on the hands. It's talking about mistreating, violence against your brother and sister. But also at this time, they were offering sacrifices to make themselves right with God. And so they had blood on their hands of both against God and for God. And it was making God disgusted. God was upset with his people. Not because they were worshiping and not because there was anything wrong with the way they were worshiping, except when God looked into their souls, they were empty. There was no love there. There was no relationship there. They were going through the charade of being God's people. And you know, we're pretty good at pretending. There was a recent research done. Over 10,000 adults were a part of this research that had been done in 28 different countries. And the question that they were asked was, the statement that they had to respond to was, I pretend to be busier than I am. Pretty simple, straightforward question, right? 65% said they do. Pretend to be busier than they are. I had to take a real close look at myself because I talk about being busy or think in my head about being busy, and I had to think, well, am I really? Do I fit into that 65% of people? Do we pretend to be busier than they are? The country picked up on this in the United States. We have a comedian named Nate Toman, and Nate developed an app. He's a comedian. He developed an app at a comedian workshop, so it was meant to be hilarious. But the app was called I Got This. And the app itself would actually, wherever you were, it would use your phone and a Google Calendar. So if you kept your calendar on your phone and it was Google, then it would download all of the different events that were taking place in your local area download them to your calendar. So it would show certain days and times all these things were going on. And basically, you'd go on your phone and you'd hit the Get Busy button on your phone, and it would just download all that information to your calendar. Well, it could be that maybe somebody wanted to use all that information so they could plug in and participate in their community. But what Nate found was that's not how it's being used. It's being used so that people can get out of doing things, so that they can look busy and their friends can ask them to do something, or family members, and they can say, oh, but look at my calendar. It's just full. Right? So we do pretend to go through different motions. We do pretend to be different than we are, kind of playing charades. And we have this passage from Isaiah that God's calling us out on pretending, but it's not. God's not calling us out necessarily that we're pretending with one another. So we're pretending with God. And that's why God can say, I hate it when you're pretending with me. God wants us to be authentic when we come to God. Be who we really are. Good or bad. To be authentic with God. I found it interesting that in 23, and they always announce this at the very end of the year, what word was the word of the year? What word showed up being Googled or researched more than any other word that year? In 2023, it was authentic. People were trying to figure out what it means to be authentic, how to achieve being authentic, what that looks like in their lives. It was something that we were focusing on, trying to figure out this authenticity, because I think God would smile if we would be authentic with everyone all the time. But God's mainly interested about our relationship with God, because without being authentic with God, we can't be in a relationship. Think about it. If you had thinking in terms of a marriage relationship, if you thought, hey, this person, I know them, I love them, the way that they treat me is just wonderful, you get married, and it all changes. They hadn't been authentic with you, right? It hurts. It's painful. The same is true with our relationship with God. If we're not authentic with God, the relationship doesn't exist. It's not true. It's painful. And you see, we don't have to pretend. We shouldn't think we have to. This God who is unbelievably loving toward us, unconditionally, forever, unending, offering grace, power into our lives. We shouldn't feel like we have to pretend. You see, God knows us inside and out. We're told in scriptures. Psalms has a lot of this. 138. God knows us inside and out. God knows our coming and going. God is the author of our soul. So if we are empty, if all that exists is what we're doing on the outside, and we're empty on the inside, God knows that. God already knows it, even if we're pretending we're not. And so it's the relationship with God that's in jeopardy when we pretend. So what does an authentic life look like? What does an authentic act look like? It might look like charades to you and I. It might look like somebody's pretending. But if it's an act of truly God's love, it's not. It is authentic. The story that really touched my heart, it is an actual story. It's been around for a while. But a young, nervous Marine walked into a hospital, and he was escorted into a hospital room. And the nurse said, "Here's your son." And there was an old man laying in the bed. And he was so drugged that he was really foggy. And the young Marine walked up and he held on to the old man's hand. And he gave it that squeeze of love and encouragement. And there were not a lot of words spoken, and the young Marine just stayed. And finally the nurse brought in a chair so that he could be seated beside the bed. And the young Marine stayed. And every now and then he just seemed focused on the old man in the bed, and then she would come in and he didn't pay any attention. He was oblivious to the fact that the nursing staff were there, didn't pay attention to any of the hospital noises around him, and just continued to focus. And the nurse noticed that every now and then he would be whispering some gentle, kind-sounding words to the old man. And in the morning, toward morning, it was still early morning, the nurse said, why don't you go and get some rest? And he said, "No, I need to stay." And so he did, all night into late morning, and eventually the old man died. And the young Marine let go of the limp hand in his, went out and told the nurse, and when the nurse was doing all that she needed to do, he stayed. And she finally came out and she started to offer some words of sympathy to her. She said, "I'm so sorry, your father's." And he says, "No, I don't know who is this man," the young Marine said. And she was shocked. And she said, "Well, that's your father." And he said, "No, I've never seen him before in my life." And she said, "Why didn't you tell me when I took you into the room?" And he said, "Well, I could tell that he needed me. And so I stayed. I didn't say anything. I stayed for him." He said, "I actually came to the hospital to see Mr. William Gray to tell him that his son, a Marine, had died in action. He had died yesterday." And with tears in her eyes, the nurse said, "This man was Mr. William Green. Not a charade, an act of God's love. That's the difference. You see, that was a heart that was full, that offered God's love to another, regardless of what it looks like to the world. And so I invite you to live an authentic life in Jesus Christ. sharing the love of God that you have experienced, that you hold within you, from you to another. Amen. Go into the world offering God's love and hope to others. Go in peace and remember that God goes with you. Let others see Christ in us as we are, living our faith, nurturing families, serving our community.
Thank you.
let us stand to receive the benediction. And now as we go into our day and into our lives, attempting to be more authentic than we've ever been with God first and others, I leave you with this thought. We are not human beings going through a temporary spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings going through a temporary human experience. Amen.